CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Morning, motherfuckers. It's a way to start the morning. They always tell me you shouldn't swear in the first 5 minutes because YouTube will monetize you or whatever. Like, oh, well. I don't think they're paying me anyway. So. I don't work for YouTube. Do you work for YouTube?
No.
Hell no. Eugene Quozza is here, ladies and gentlemen. We thought we'd start off with a bang this morning. And who better to bring in here than one of our favorite people in the whole world? First of all, very, very happy new year. I think we can still say that, right?
Gareth, you know the rules.
Statute of limitations.
You know, it expires on the 7th
right.
of the month
right.
of Jan. Then it's over.
Yeah,
because now we're well into the first week. So,
well, we are here. We are live. Leanne Moll is also, she's alive. Hello, Zelda.
Hi.
Griselda, how are you?
Good.
All right, very good. I heard you woke up to no power, but there's no load shedding. So I don't know what's happening in your neighborhood. It's particularly shit there, obviously, on the, what is today?
Yeah.
The 9th of Jan. Happy New Year, ass.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, listen, we got a lot to get into this morning. I mean, I feel like I've been away for weeks, but it's actually only been 2 weeks. It's crazy. I mean, like this time last week, we were still on public holiday.
My worst time of the year. I hate
Do you hate it?
I hate December.
Why?
Because it just proves that being middle class is a joke as a black person.
Dude, not just as a black person. I took a picture of this yesterday because I saw this on the internet and I thought, like, bloody hell. Here it is. Medieval peasants worked only 150 days a year.
No way.
The church believed it was important to keep them happy with frequent and mandatory holidays. In other words, we have less holidays than a medieval peasant.
And a shittier diet.
Right.
Because peasants ate very well. Because you had to be strong.
Well, no, they grew
what I'm saying?
And they grew their own food.
Yes.
And even the meanest feudal lord wanted his peasants to be healthy and strong, not weak and pathetic, because otherwise you couldn't use them in war or for farming or anything else.
Exactly. So the gladiators ate barley, and then the slaves in medieval times, the peasants ate what paisana food, what that we eat in Italian restaurants, right?
Exactly. The stuff that you can grow that is good
Come
for you,
on,
not this
guys.
Processed shit. You know what the worst thing is? We've become a new kind of slave because now we pull up to the takeaway place and we eat that terrible food. And it makes us, it makes us worse. So we're not only, they had 150 days of holiday a year. 150, half, more than, no, just less than half. Just less than half the year they had off in those days. Then
but
along,
surely that was to grow the food and do all the stuff that machines do
They
now.
Probably did a 4 day week. Working week, because the week and the weekend was invented during the Industrial Revolution.
Yes.
That was to get those children with their little hands in the factories assembling shit faster, right? We needed to put those kids to work. Now, I'm not opposed to that, as you know. One of our policies on this show has always been that if there's a segment of the population that are just takers,
kids.
It's the children.
Yes.
They don't pay taxes.
See, that's why I've never had a child, because I knew that you would have scooped it up immediately and put it to work.
Oh, that's nice of you. First day of the new year and you're blaming me for your being a barren single lady. Right.
With
my
no
fault.
No power in
the
morning.
It's my fault. Yeah. No power. What else is my fault? You're like the ANC. Ah, collective responsibility. Speaking of them, can we just I left for what was a very short holiday. I had like 3 days in Cape Town, 3 days in KZN. And I had an event to go to in Cape Town, which was a friend of mine's wedding. And in KZN, I had to do a New Year's thing. So it wasn't like it was downtime, sitting at the pool or whatever.
Yes.
That didn't happen. Uh-huh. But when I left, on the day I left, the ANC were having a conference.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, well, at least when I get back, that'll be over. Well, fuck me. I get back. They're having another part two.
It was Avatar.
What was this? I don't understand.
The way of the ANC.
Are you telling me that they couldn't get enough bullshit hot air out there in the first however many days when they re-elected Cyril throughout shame? Yeah, I spare a thought for Lindiwe Sisulu, Naledi Pandor,
Makhashule,
Ace Makhashule, and Nkosa Sanatlamini Zuma, because they are, they, what are they going to do now? They're not
go on pension, maybe.
Oh, oh,
maybe,
and that'll be sizable. It won't be. It won't be sad. It won't be.
No,
like,
it won't be at all.
Your grandmother and mine, if mine was alive, would definitely have done a lot worse than them.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. Gotcha.
So these people deserve to be on pension. I mean, right. The extension of the conference was just to give Ace Makhashule more chest pains. Because how dare he enjoy his New Year's Eve without even more chest pains looming in the future for him? Because you remember he watched the conference at a Sasol garage?
Oh, shame. Is that true?
Shame.
Is that true?
Yes.
That
he watched it from there and he said, it's only a matter of 5 years. If the branch were like, we're eating. Not now. We'll see you. The branches were like, we're nowhere to be seen. Who are these branches that Ace keeps talking about? You know, so it's over for him. There's a new sheriff in town, Figile Mbalula, touting his pistol in the air.
And he is definitely having fun in his new role.
He is having the best time.
He had the best New Year. I guarantee you he got so drunk for at least those days in between the first conference and the second one. He was pretty much pissed
drunk
the whole time.
On alcohol or power?
Everything. Everything.
I think as a country, we're in for the biggest roast we've ever seen, because it's going to be between Julius Malema, the internet wars.
Oh, God.
Because those two guys have speakers, have PR people, but they'll never use them because they like speaking for themselves.
Yeah. They're like Trump. They get on the toilet at 3 a.m. and start tweeting.
So we're about to have a showdown. It's going to be a roast royale this year.
Well, listen, let's just look at what we've got coming right at us this year, because we've hit the road running. And we're in the studio this morning. I'm sorry that you couldn't make it, Ass. We've got power here, by the way. Hi.
Yeah, no, I'm very jealous. I think I'll definitely take up the offer if you're there again next week.
No, we'll be doing we'll be doing a minimum of a show a week from here. So we will be back with a vengeance. And this year is going to be good. By the way, I'm going to switch on all the social media that I had off, because it's time to get. Yeah, cool. Please, it's time to get back in the game.
Who's been replying my DMs to you then?
On Twitter.
On Instagram?
Oh, no, that's me.
Ah!
No, that's me. Don't worry.
Because I sent a few nudes as well. So I was like, whoa, who saw those? Oh,
like, that's all. You know, New Year isn't a new year unless Eugene Kwaza is sending you nudes. Said me and 500 women across the country. I'm the only guy who gets them. Lucky me.
You're on my broadcast.
and all this time, it was Gareth's mom who was monitoring his Instagram.
Oh, wait, my camera's gone off. This is irritating. Hang on, let me just rework my camera here.
So, Leanne,
if you were at home, it would work.
It would, guaranteed.
What are you using if you don't have electricity at your house, Leanne? How are you online?
Baby, I'm using my hotspot.
Ooh, sexy times.
Maybe I should be on your broadcast.
Well,
yeah, hotspot and natural light.
Ah, okay.
See, now I got to adjust this because now I've changed cameras. Now I've got the monster lighting from underneath. This is why you've got to be on our YouTube, by the way, because then you can see me in full HD looking as shit as possible at like 6 a.m. So great.
No, I think the lighting's a bit more flattering day.
Yes.
Leanne, I miss radio where nobody knew what we looked like.
Oh, wasn't
we could roll
best?
In. We used to roll in there in a, you know, like t-shirt and tracksuit pants. We used to look like absolute shit every morning because there were cameras in the studio. We didn't need to do that.
No one deserved to know our business there. We just did it underground.
They thought we were much prettier than we were.
So you guys like being anonymous like the ANC branches?
Definitely. Definitely. So let's just talk about a few things, because this year is starting hot with my favorite people, Harry and Meghan. They're all over the news. And I really thought it was only the British who are obsessed with royalty, but evidently it's everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the most well-informed channels that I watch to get like really good royal news from is from a young American girl.
Yeah. Yeah, listen.
She knows everything about royalty.
I wonder, like humans have the religious impulse, which used to, when I was a very militant atheist once, it used to bother me. I'd be like, okay, well, maybe we just can't eradicate this religious impulse. People need to believe in something. Mm. My opinion has changed since then, but I still believe there's a religious impulse. So I'm wondering if there isn't a royal impulse. I'm wondering if people don't, because of years and years of most cultures in the world being run by autocrats for thousands of years. You know, most of human history, there was a chief, a king, an emperor, someone you had to obey and bow down to.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that isn't inculcated in us to the degree where now we're still interested in them, even when they're simpering, pathetic, ginger, inbred losers who, just because they are, you know, His Royal Highness and father's a king, now we must all suddenly take an interest in them. Because we, is this just something that we have to deal with as humans?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of nosiness and voyeurism and familiarity. Because ultimately all of this, what it is just a family soapy.
Yeah.
We've all had those situations. We all have family drama. The matriarch, the uncle that does this, the cousin that's a, and then the one that brings a wife that wants to destroy the entire family, the makoti that comes through and doesn't want to wake up in the morning and tweets about her mother-in-law being a bitch. So we all have that, and Megan just put it out there for all of us to see.
She's into it.
And I'm having a good time watching it, because I'm like, he and her are going to be the end of that family.
Yeah, they're putting a nail in that coffin. Look, certainly they'll never come back. I mean, there's going to be no, after this, there's no
way. I know, but I don't want to.
They've decided to slash and burn.
But for people who don't want to come back, surely they're talking too much about a family that they don't want to be part of, right?
Well, this just shows you. And also, by the way, I mean, you saw all the memes over the weekend about Harry saying he shot 25 Taliban when he was in Afghanistan. Now, first of all, there are a bunch of people going, oh my God, innocent people. They weren't innocent people. It was war. He was in the army. That's how wars work. Mm-hmm. Not everything is your feminist utopia where everybody can hug and have drum circles and armpit hair. Jeez.
Dream catchers.
I mean, really, like, how much more feminized would you like men to be? Ladies, how much more pathetic?
You want Prince, us to steam our yonis
Prince
as well?
Exactly. Prince Harry. Prince Harry's like a feminist's dream of a man. Like this pathetic guy you can drag around by the nose. And he is all those things. And maybe that's what Meghan was after, because she hasn't turned him into this. He always was this, right? Let's not blame her.
Yes.
But she is a conniving, vindictive bitch as well.
Mm.
This whole thing is just destructive. They have no interest in building or creating anything new. They're they're sapping what little energy remains in royalty, and they're using it to just push themselves a little bit further and make a bit more money. And it's exactly what I predicted when the whole thing happened. Not the marriage. I was very much for it when the marriage happened. But when these two decided they were going to go their own way, I was like, I can smell what this is going to do.
You did?
Mm.
You called it.
And I think Meghan has political ambitions as well.
You know, when I watched the documentary of theirs on Netflix, if there's one thing that turned me against Meghan was the fact that when she said she didn't know who this guy was, I was like, that's impossible.
It's impossible, right? There's no way she couldn't have known who this guy was.
That's impossible.
No, and that she didn't know how to curtsy to the queen. And
my God.
Nonsense. They're making it up. Now apparently Harry's changed his story this morning. You were telling me that he's now said, oh, no, there wasn't any racism from the family.
Yes.
When the baby was born.
Yes.
Now, we were all told that was, remember, that was the headline after the Oprah interview? The racism.
Yes.
Racism. You know, and that was the reason anyone took any notice of these two. And by the way, I checked this out just out of pure interest for those people who are racists. If you are a racist towards Meghan, you're expending a lot of energy on someone who's three quarters white.
Yes.
She's only one quarter. For her to claim blackness is a bit of a cheek to those dark brothers and sisters in Senegal.
Yes.
You are being a very, very cheeky woman to claim just with your quarter, because Obama said, you know, well, I've got one white parrot, one black. But Meghan is less black than Barack Obama. If we're gonna, because this is what racists are interested in, right?
Yes.
Racists are interested in how much black or white.
She can't even spell her quarter with a K.
No. Exactly. Listen. You know, the real racists in the world used to actually classify people according to how much black or white they had in them, right?
Mm.
If you were pure white, you were something special. If you were pure black, you were something evil. That was what they used to the real racists. Mm. Now, this woman, out of her four grandparents, three were white people. So the racists are, I don't believe they're interested in her. Mm. She's not a great target for them, you know? Mm. They should be going after, like, I don't know, Idris or whoever. if they really want to be racist. Mm. It's a bad target. Anyway, I also want to talk about this thing with Harry with the 25 Taliban.
So I like that.
The funniest
the
thing
25
is,
unnamed Taliban.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Like a Harry Potter book.
These poor guys. You've seen
Harry
them.
And the 25 Nice one, Leah.
Harry Wales and the 25 Taliban. The two memes that I loved from this were, number one, there's a photo of all these Taliban guys lined up and it says, this is the queue at Harry's book signing, which is great.
Oh, my God.
And the other one was this guy who tweeted. He said, guys, let's face it, the Taliban weren't killed by Harry in war. They were captured, and then when they were in the camp, he forced them to listen to his sob stories for so long they shot themselves. Oh,
but
man.
Also, the thing with Megan, she doesn't identify as black. I think she was forced in a corner to identify as black, right? For a long time she didn't.
No, she chose. Here's the funny thing that's happened in America now. I don't say this is true all over the world.
Yeah.
In America right now, you get white people who are claiming to be black, like that Rachel Dolezal woman.
Oh, man, she's my
Remember
hero.
Remember her? And then,
Rachel Dolezal was my hero.
There have been a few others. There have been, some people recently who've been claiming to be Native American, even though they're not. They've been in the news quite a lot over the last 3-4 weeks. There was this woman who, you know, it's always these white, purely pure white women, like these white suburban, like you can't get whiter than these women. And then they claim to, they have a Native American name, like, I don't know, Slow Feather or something. Hawkeye. I don't know what their fucking name is. Anyway.
Two Rivers.
Yeah, Two Rivers. And they come out and they claim to be Native American. And then it always, when you read the headline, Native American woman complaining about how a team is called the Braves or whatever. You're not allowed to use the term.
Indiana Braves.
They tried to get the Harvard, I think it was Harvard, published a list of problematic words.
Yes.
And one of these problematic words was chief. Now, chief was used all over the world. In fact, chef in the kitchen was a French term for chefs long before Native Americans were incorporated into the English language, anyway. Yes. So chief is a word that everybody uses. Here in Africa, we've used the word chief. Not
the ANC uses the word chief.
Chief. People go chief. When, anyway.
Yes.
Apparently now you're not meant to use that word because it's appropriation of like Native American culture, which is nonsense. Anyway, these white women claim to be Native American because here's what's happened. It is no longer useful politically. It doesn't get you any points to be white. So now, in America, it's more useful to be Native American or black or anything else. Because you'll get into college easier, you'll get a job, you'll be considered ahead of someone else. Because this is what's happened. It's completely inverted from the way that it used to be, where it was, you know. Like, so now you have the opposite of what you used to have, where, you know, during apartheid, there were a lot of colored people and Indian people who wanted to get classified as white.
Yes,
remember, by the old racist regime. Yes. I love that we're talking about this because no one cares anymore, but it's still funny.
We do.
Now, well, of course, but they don't care. Like, now it is not advantageous in America to be white anymore. So you get these white women who have, they don't have a story, they don't have anything to really talk about. So they're like, well, if I pretend to be Native American, I might get some attention. And they do get attention. So it's perverse incentives. Mm. So you end up with people like Megan, who probably went through the whole high school, like, you know, she just had a nice tan or whatever.
Yes.
And nobody
yes.
even noticed. I mean, I didn't know she was black on Suits. Did you?
I didn't know as well.
No. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
And it wasn't part of the story as far as I can recall.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. And it was never brought up.
And then suddenly she is, because she's marrying into the royal family. And I'm like, well, okay, you know. This is just convenient right now. This is what, so people are all milking whatever narrative is convenient to them. And that's fine. That's all good and well. I mean, if you can claim something that makes you seem to yourself and other people more interesting, do it with my blessing.
But this brings me to a topic that I always have with my friends. And I always say, when you're mixed race, do you have a right to choose which race you are?
You can choose, I think. Don't you?
But guys,
what is the rule? I mean, this is something we never talk about this.
That's what I want to
know. And by the way, when you boil it down and you go back far enough, we're all mixed race anyway. Because the only reason that there are different races is because of climate.
Yes.
That's the only reason some people develop this pigment, other people that pigment. Mm. There's certain genetic variations, but they are minuscule. I mean, we have so little to differentiate. This is why people who in the 1800s to early 1900s, you had these people who were called, well, they were racist, but there was another word for them.
Besides racist, what were they called?
There was another name for them. They were like
AfriForum.
No. They were almost like eugenicists. They were almost like eugenicists. And you know, eugenicists were the ones who thought, oh well, you know, the Nazis were eugenicists. Mm-hmm. For example, they said, well, if someone's got bad genes or whatever, they must
die. But the Nazis would have loved you, Gareth. You've got like blonde eyebrows. Jesus.
Well, let's not talk about it.
You would have been having the best time ever in your tailored Hugo Boss suit.
I'm glad to say I'm glad you brought Hugo Boss need to be smacked around some more. Listen, there are lots of brands this year that are going to have a shit time. All those brands who've been hiding and they're like, oh, we're such a nice brand, we're so good and everybody loves us and we're so great. Mm. They're all going to be knocked out this year.
But like Balenciaga.
Yeah.
Mm, and Louis Vuitton for their satchels.
Where were we? So these racists in the 1900s, the eugenicists cause us. These people, they used to say that there were huge genetic variations between the races. And there weren't. There were none. They could never find any. Even when we managed to map the DNA, you cannot tell the difference in someone's DNA.
No way.
It's next to impossible. And mixed race people, even more confusing. Because you could do two different readings and they'll come out completely differently. There isn't a black gene or a white gene. It's the funniest thing.
There's only a Eugene.
There's a Eugene. Yeah, your name has come up a lot in good and bad context this morning. So, I mean, this is why it's ridiculous to be obsessed with this stuff.
Yes.
Like people are in the media at the moment. Yeah. They're obsessed with it.
Yeah.
It needs to be this. Now, you know, there's this thing in California, for example, that they're trying to put into action now with reparations.
Mm.
But the problem is that there are some people in California who are, they present black, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But they had one ancestor who was a slave owner and one ancestor who was a slave. Now, do they pay themselves a reparation? How does that work?
Like Rand Merchant Bank? Do they pay? Are they going to pay themselves reparations to own a business?
Exactly.
And enslave black people more into debt? Are they going to do that?
Well, this is the problem, is that like it's way too complicated. Humans... we're all a mixed up bag of things.
But monetizing being mixed race has become a popular thing in the last 5 to 7 years, I think, all over the world. Barack Obama, now Megan, and a whole lot of other people that we won't mention here because we kind of know them. But it's become a thing now.
Everybody knew exactly who you were talking about
because,
for a second.
Because why is it that in this country, it became popular to say, I'm not colored, I'm mixed race.
Oh, that was an American import. I had two American friends with me, a mate of mine who I've known for a long time from South Africa, but he's been living in America for at least the last 14, 15 years. So he speaks like an American now. He lives in New York. He's dating a girl who's from New Jersey.
Joyzy.
And she was like, what words do you guys use here that are different to the words we use? And I said, oh, well, you know, we call it a robot instead of a traffic light and that kind of thing. But then I said, well, the word that you really want to know about is colored.
I like that. Because what you're trying to figure out is, what do we call him?
Because I said to you, you can't say he are colored in America. That's like the N word. No, it's dangerous.
No,
but in South Africa, we have the Coon Carnival in Cape Town, and we
sponsored by the government.
It was sponsored by a lottery thing this time.
With Terry Petto and Carol Bauer.
Yeah. They had a lottery sponsor, and a lot of the guys from the carnival. They were very unhappy. They're like, no, we don't want this because it's a gambling company, and they think that gambling companies are sinful.
Oh, because they're Muslim.
Well, or they're very religious Christians. So either way. They don't like it. So religious Christian or Muslim, they don't like the power. I think it was, what's the thing called? Hollywood Bets or whatever.
Oh, they didn't want Hollywood Bets becoming a sponsor.
Because it was called the Hollywood Bets Carnival or something. And they were like, no, it's not that. Mm. They would prefer it to be called the Coon Carnival, frankly.
Hollywood Bets would open wages against the royal family as well.
We have these weird things. Like South Africa, we say colored and colored people in South Africa are proud to use the term colored. That's what they want to be called.
Mm.
In America, you can't do that. So mixed race is an American term that we've imported.
Mm.
It's become cool.
Yeah.
It's become so cool.
Mm.
So I want to know, Leanne, if you were married to a black man or not married, just had a child with a black man, how would your child identify? What would you tell your child as soon as they go, what's going on here?
I know what she's going to say. She's going to say, I'll let the child choose, which is a cop out. What are you going to say? Am I wrong?
Yeah, what are you going to say? What box are you going to tick when you apply for first grade of school and they ask you, what's going on here? Because at school I see these ones and I see me and I see you and dad and his family and you and your family. What am I?
What are you? What is
a
your
unicorn.
Child? A unicorn.
Oh, come
no,
on,
come
Ian.
On. If I had to tick a box, yeah, go on.
If I had to tick a box and there was a box for mixed race, I would have put mixed race. But I think it depends a lot on what sort of culture the child was brought up in, you know? Like I, for instance, have Jewish heritage, but I was never brought up in a Jewish cultural way. So I identify as traditionally Christian.
She's coming up with a long excuse. Yeah. But didn't you? I've worked with you long enough to know when you're going to talk a whole lot of bullshit. Eugene still thinks you're going to like answer honestly. And usually you are. I'm not saying
you gave me an Naledi Pando answer.
Exactly.
Diplomatic.
Political. So didn't you have Christmas with someone Jewish this year and it was their first Christmas?
Yes. So a family friend who's in his late 30s and has never experienced Christmas before.
No way.
Where
were they for the last 30 something years?
2000 years.
No, I'm surprised.
Where were they?
They were busy being
Jewish. Yes. Were they being Jewish?
Doberg.
And there was no exposure to Christmas. They didn't go to Spa and see a Christmas tree. They didn't touch the jingle balls, nothing.
They hadn't had a Christian family Christmas Day lunch and Open Presents Day.
So they knew what Christmas was, but they hadn't experienced.
Of course, yeah.
So how did that go? Anyway, did they after the whole thing say, well, thank God I'm not one of you guys?
Well, they felt like there was a little bit of extra pressure to perform because, Christmas can be kind of an underwhelming experience when we look at it in the way that we celebrate it. It's just a day with our families. We have the Christmas tree. We eat turkey. We open presents. But it's not like, for instance, some of the Jewish holidays, and especially the more celebrative ones, take place over weeks. And there's a lot of like pomp and ceremony around it. So, the expectation
nonsense.
Was that I was wrong because he did say, no, it's basically the same. We pray and eat.
Pray and eat.
Eat, pray, love.
Listen, I remember Damon used to say to me, all it is we survived. We weren't killed in the desert or by Hitler. Let's eat. That was always his thing. And I thought, well, that's kind of, holidays for most people are let's eat.
Yes.
It's really.
Exactly.
I am at least 2 kilograms overweight after Christmas, so don't feel bad if you are.
Well, let me tell you about the eating part. There was a terrible power outage from an electrical pipe from the 1930s. Which was so deep in the ground that it took like 4 days just to get to it by the municipal workers. They worked throughout Christmas. They were there 24/7.
They should have got some of those cable thieves who keep stealing the cables in my area. They would have got that quickly.
My thing is there was electricity in the 30s in Joburg.
We've gone backwards. Joburg 2022, people sitting with candles. Joburg 1930s. Electricity.
Did they find a router down there?
As a result, it was a problem for a lot of people because you plan like a 4-hour gammon and turkey in the oven. So people were like freaking out a bit. But guess who came to the rescue?
Who?
The Jew.
Oh.
So we had our turkey. We put our turkey in a juba.
Yeah.
To his house.
I hate your worst, Leon.
which was down the
Juba.
Road. And the Jew cooked our turkey, our Christmas turkey. So he kept on sending pictures of saying, how's the progress?
Like it was.
Because he didn't know.
That is funny.
But yeah, he saved the day with that, which was awesome.
Did he touch the gammon?
No, no.
That's where he drew the line.
Yeah, he drew the line.
Look,
drew the line with the gammon.
The gammon had to be cooked in a different way. We had to resort to fire for the
now
get
back,
the pork stuffing.
Get back to what your child can choose to be, black or white. Because yes. I know my answer. You want to ask me first?
No, I want Leanne to give me the answer.
Yeah, come on, me, force you.
Because I've seen women like
she's
Leanne
full screen.
At the mall.
There she is.
Walking with their mixed race.
I would say mixed race.
Why?
I don't know, you know?
Mm.
So you wouldn't say, because you're part of me and you're part of my family that looks like this, you are part of us. You wouldn't say that?
Oh, so in other words, you think that I'm saying that they're not black or they're not white?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh.
Because that's what you're telling them.
No.
Isn't that essentially what...
No. If I tell them, then you've got me, because they can be whoever they want to be.
That's what I said her answer would be.
But if I had to tick a box at a school and it said mixed race, I would, black, white, or mixed race, I would have ticked.
What if there's no mixed race box?
Now you're talking like Vavuta. I like this. This is where all the shit starts.
So what if there's no mixed race box? There's white.
If there's no
Indian.
Hermaphrodite box, yeah.
Intersex.
Remember all of that.
Which box would you tick, Leanne?
No, I don't know. I'm not taking one.
She's not going to. You won't get it. She's too into like towing the middle line here, and she knows the danger.
There are whites who will say, as soon as there's any black in the blood, the child is black. If that's what you want to get to.
Are they the same ones that cooked your turkey?
Megan's parents. You know, I would say straight up, like right now in South Africa where I am, got to be black.
Yeah.
Got to be. And plus, like less bullshit to deal with.
Yes.
All the, you know, there's none of that like apartheid stuff, and you can be a member of any party and just go be black. And if you want to be black, but you want the whites and the blacks to like you, and you don't mind being called a coconut, you can be that kind of black. If you want to be black, then you can go and do that as well. You know which kind I mean.
I know.
And if you want to be somewhere in between, that's yours. But I'm going to call you, I'm going to say, no, I've got a black child, because also white people are so impressed with that.
Yes.
They're blown away by that, right?
NGOs love that.
Oh, they love that.
USAID will give you money, everything. Mm-hmm. I would tick black, because I think in mixed race relationships, the black gene wins.
Mm. They do. Absolutely,
all the time.
It's dominant.
We know this. So when it's a fast.
If there's such a gene, obviously.
Yeah.
Eugene.
Or skinny jeans from Tempe Hospital.
So you're saying you're like along the lines of biological science, where if parents have brown eyes and blue eyes, the child is more likely to have brown eyes.
Yes. There we go.
Okay. That's probably about right.
Because in the township, we grew up around mixed race kids for so long.
Yeah.
And we never called them mixed race. They're black.
Right.
Because also there's so many shades. You know, you only discover only when you're dating a white person how many shades of white people there are. Because Portuguese people don't consider themselves white.
No. They say they're Portuguese.
They say they are. And depending on where you're from in Portugal, right. They're also saying, I'm the black people of Portugal. Mm-hmm. If you're from Madeira, they're like, people from the mainland hate us because we don't look like them. And then in South Africa, the Jewish people are like, please don't involve me with the white people. Please.
Wow. Here's a complicated scenario from Venetia. Venetia says, my daughter is mixed and I'm colored. So what is she? My husband is Indian. So she calls herself South African Indian. Nothing else.
That's the daughter.
Mm.
Mm. Whew.
See, by your reckoning, she has to call herself black.
Yes, 100%.
But neither of the parents do.
Because you have to ask yourself, would you be cast in a Tyler Perry movie?
That's got to be the... All right, if that's the baseline,
that's the barometer.
After a good December in the sun, I could be in. I think I could be in. Speaking of which... All right, we've got a lot to get into. There's so much to talk about here. We've also got like lots of time this morning because Dr. Hanan is only going to be with us next week. Mm-hmm. He is still on holiday. And for those people who only pitch up on Monday mornings to get free counseling, I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with Eugene and Leanne and I. But there is a question.
The opposite of counseling.
Good luck.
Well, listen, if you're going to rely on us for counseling... take your chances, right? Because there are enough people on the internet at the moment proclaiming themselves as experts in psychology and all the rest of it who are nowhere near and should be kept away from everybody. Mm. At least with Dr. Hanan, we know he's got the cred.
Legit.
And his advice is good. So even if you don't believe, if you're not one of those people who gets impressed by a doctorate or any of that stuff, and there are a lot of people these days who are looking at that stuff going, oh, well, that's bullshit anyway. Dr. Hanan is really sensible. So even if you're not impressed by his qualifications or the fact that he started the anxiety and trauma clinic, then maybe you like him for his good advice. That's one of the reasons I like him. But the cool thing about having Dr. Hanan on is he can also call us into line when we've done or said something stupid. And we have questions like this for him every week. You have a good question for this week, which we're going to answer in his absence. And we'll ask him about it later. I like this question. So it's come up a lot recently. There's a huge amount of noise. We've mentioned him once or twice on the show last year. I think we spoke about him a couple of times. Andrew Tate. Mm. He's become like a kind of hero for disenchanted men, incels, maybe also for a whole bunch of men who say, well, where's the masculinity being represented in society these days? Everybody talks about toxic masculinity, but what is the female version of toxic masculinity? That's your question.
That's my question, yeah.
So I think this is worth us having a go at. So, Leanne, get ready for another uncomfortable question from Eugene. what would you call the female version of toxic masculinity, and what does it look like? How did this occur to you as a thought? Because that's where we're going to get into it.
Well, because I've been following what a lot of what Andrew Tate has been saying, and obviously the famous internet guy in the US, I forgot his name, the one who spoke about Trump a lot with a hoarse voice.
The one with a hoarse voice?
Yeah, from the US. The one who has that huge podcast.
Rogan?
No. The other one. Rogan interviewed him the other day.
Who are we talking about?
He's a big Trump supporter.
Steve Bannon?
No, I'll remember. But then I was thinking...
Maybe someone in the comments will know. They always know what we're talking about when we don't.
And also Joe Rogan for some...
It's not Piers Morgan. Okay.
Also, Piers Morgan is one of those. He's not scared to say what he wants to say. So when... My thing is when on the internet or in the news...
Alex Jones. Oh, the conspiracy theorist and all-round nutcase who now owes people because he made up... He said that school shooting was orchestrated by the government as like a psyop. And he was sued for that by the parents of the kids who died in the school shooting. And now he owes them millions. Like, he's in big trouble with that.
Yeah.
That guy.
So when you hear guys like that speak and you look at the following that they have, you have to admit that at some point these people are identifying with so many other people.
Right. There's a market.
It's the same way how the Taliban or other people are converting people so far away from them. But now other people are expressing their views. But then when I go on the internet and I go on Twitter, I see a lot of women who are against a lot of men. So if a guy says something, they are quick to say this and that. Yeah. I don't need a man. Why is a man telling me this? This deadbeat dead baby daddy of mine. And I'm like, right. So what is the opposite? If people had the balls to step off social media and open a blog or open a podcast and say what they want to say with their chest, with their faces on it, risking everything, would they do it? And I think Andrew Tate and all of these people are just representatives of how people really feel inside. And when did we get here where people can't say what they feel inside?
Well, it's always more likely going to be men who say those things because they don't care as much about belonging as women do. That's just an all-round fact. There are less brave women online who will stand alone. They'd prefer to be part of it. Like, women will not protest alone. You know? And this is a thing I was talking about with a friend of mine the other day, is that, you know, if men went on a protest march against, like, I don't know, mean corporate bully women, people would laugh at them. They would mock them and ridicule them and make fun of them for the rest of their lives. But if women got together and did that, it would be perfectly okay in society. We'd look at it as a legitimate protest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, first of all, you go ahead.
It's one of those things that you can't compare. There's no direct opposite. And I really don't want to compare racism to masculinity and feminism. Females were oppressed. Were traditionally oppressed.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't.
They're the luckiest of the two sexes. They don't do as much.
No, not now.
No, always through history. You haven't been in wars.
Never.
No, women didn't have to go to war.
And when this
oppressed thing is nonsense. Look what happened when you started voting. Look what happened to the world when you started getting the vote.
Sorry, I'm back.
It's one of those things where you can't look. I'm not one of those women who, you know, thinks that all men should die and women should just rule the earth in peace. I believe that there's a role for everyone. Yeah, there'd be no peace.
There'll be a lot of gossip.
But,
huge amount of gossip. Yeah.
But I think...
You'd have countries.
You can't, there's no opposite.
You'd have passive-aggressive shit with countries. You'd be like, oh, I'm not talking to Chile. You know what's wrong. Chile's like, no, I don't know what's wrong. You do know what's wrong. You're just saying you don't know what's wrong. Can you imagine?
Okay, sorry, Leanne. Continue.
So, no, you can't compare it. It's like saying, what if a white person is mean to a black person, is it racism?
Yes.
If a black person absolutely. Is mean to a white person, is it racism?
Absolutely. Because remember that with that example, we don't have good examples in history of white people being nice to black people. And when you look at, because I'm a big fan of medieval shows, white people were not even nice to each other.
No. No, but let's be fair, no one was nice to each other. There's also this nonsense. There's this nonsense story of like, well, before the evil white people landed in like West Africa, all the black people being super nice
to each other. No, the tribes were at it. Macheting each other left, right, and center.
Exactly.
For cornrows. But
Jesus.
But here we are.
By the way, we have not gone soft for the first show of the year. Just want to say we've climbed in hook, line, and sinker.
We finished Leanne's glass of water.
We've touched
in the
race.
First
we've touched gender. We have Harry and Meg. Andrew Tate.
Yeah, Andrew Tate.
That's funny.
A nice one. Right.
Andrew Tate.
Gingerbread.
Eugenicism. I mean, really, we have fat with eating over Christmas.
Do you really think that women have it hard?
They did.
What, because they didn't have the vote?
Yes, what? Yeah.
And they still do. No, they still do. Gareth, we've spoken before about how
let me clear this at night. Okay, hang on. No.
I check if someone's following me.
Why?
Whoa, we'll get into that in a second. But I just want to point out that having the vote is probably done less for people than they ever thought, right?
Yes.
We've always, and I know, listen, I'm fully aware of what 1994 meant in this country to black people who didn't have the vote.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, the first country to give women the vote was New Zealand.
Yes.
And it was after 1900, as I recall, roughly. And there are still countries in the world where women don't have the vote.
Mm.
Like, you know, I don't think in Saudi Arabia they have any say at all. Men
can't even
women.
Go to school.
No. So obviously this is a thing, but it's a political thing.
Yes.
In terms of life, and your general safety and your general security, it's always been much worse to be a man.
Mm.
Always. Mm. Demonstrably. Because even though women were obviously victimized horribly throughout history, men didn't even make it to like middle age because they got hacked down by their compatriot men.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always been like Eugene said about Europeans, people were killing each other almost entirely from the fall of the Roman Empire in a nonstop war until, I don't know, just after World War II, maybe.
That's until after Harry killed 15 Taliban.
Right. I mean, that's even in living memory. So
Harry rails into 15 Taliban.
We have to be clear about this because there's like these two very bullshit sanitized versions of history which are being sold. The one is complete nonsense that like women were completely oppressed and they were just raped and victimized and murdered throughout history and men were just these oppressive patriarchs. It's nonsense because you haven't read any books if you say that. And then the other version is that, you know, somehow history was wonderful because women knew their place. Mm. And both of those versions are completely wrong. I had this really interesting discussion with, it was one of my favorite interviews last year. We actually finished, I think it was the second last one we played out at the end of the year last year.
Mm.
Simon Sebag Montefiore, historian. And he's written this brilliant fact book like this called History of the World. And in it, he looks at stories of families and how men and women have exactly in the same amounts, in equal percentages by contribution, made the world that we live in. Mm. It's just that women aren't all rah-rah, murder, blood, yes, war, domination as men are. But they've played as important a role. Without women, there wouldn't be any of those men. They weren't raised by men, and especially through history. Men have had a minimal role in father. You know, fatherhood was like this much percentage, of a tiny 10% of the total of what made up the way kids grew up in those days.
Yes.
Up to very recently.
Because if you were not in the fields, you were on a voyage or you were in a war.
You weren't there.
And who was polishing this armor? Who was making bombs in World War II? Who was making these planes?
And it doesn't mean...
It was women.
So there's an equal contribution here. And both of those kinds of history that I told you about now are just nonsense. And yet we teach it at school like it's a binary. Yeah. Like, we never teach them the nuanced stuff. And this is why people grow up with this bizarre idea that, like, one of the genders had it easy and the other one
didn't.
And
you know what, Gareth? If you're going to be driving a G-Wagon in Bryanston and you're 26 and you're female and someone pays for it, well, you have no right to lecture about how crazy it is being a woman and how deprived you are. There is no man who's driving a 2 million rand car that's paid for by a woman.
No way.
Show me one guy.
And if there is, he is like Prince Harry.
Yes. At a Louis Vuitton store right now, shopping on Instagram. At the gym, getting their BBL.
There may be gay guys like that.
Yes, but
now that I think about it.
No, are you measuring the fact that they've made it by the fact that they are driving a car?
No. I'm not saying they made it. I'm saying that the
someone
fact
is
that
paying for them.
They are a woman. And remember that if you're a woman, there's someone who's going to take care of you.
Right.
Men have in their brains being programmed to want to protect. Like, if there's a robbery at my house and I press my ADT button, a man is going to come. Mm. If a woman shows up, I'm worried already. But if I'm walking down the road and I see a woman coming my way, I'm relaxed. Mm. But if I see a man coming, I'm already scared. Mm. So I'm like, in the general world of things, white people, when they see a black male, your scared radar goes... In my head, when I see a male, I'm relaxed. When I see a woman, I'm relaxed. It's only when danger approaches me that I think, oh shit, something is going wrong here. So we always have to be clear about this, where we go, men are far from being taken care of by women. It will never, not anytime soon, will a woman who's doing very well look after a man. Because also with cancel culture as well, Gareth, who's leading it?
It's women.
But looking after men has women. Different definitions. Women are looking after men.
Let me just show you this quickly, because this is the saddest comment I've ever seen from Jean, who's just shame. Jean just wants you. We love you too, Jean. He says, nobody's ever had to clean or cook for me. Yeah. Never, ever at all. In every house so far, I cook and bake and clean and I enjoy it all.
Yeah. Have a good time, Jean. Yeah.
But you go, bro.
But I'm still waiting for the day where I can see proof of how hard women are having it. I'm talking hard here. Huh? I'm talking like,
listen, I think in South Africa, you could always find, and people will find examples. And we do have a lot of them, and they make up a very large proportion of the population, where there are these whole families that are supported by one grandmother.
Yes.
You know, she's done everything.
Yes.
And we know that, but that does not make the rule.
Yes.
The rule is not made by the exceptions. The exceptions prove the rule.
Yes.
Because they're exceptions.
But it doesn't make the rule.
Right. So, I mean, we're getting lost in the reeds here, but we're never going to answer this question in this one show, by the way.
Leanne was very close to it.
Listen, the question was, and let's go back to the question, what is the female version of toxic masculinity? What can we call that?
Yes. Is there hyperfemininity? Is hyperfemininity toxic masculinity version for women?
And remember, it was...
evil, froth-mouthed bitch.
That's too many words. We need two... Da-da-da-da-da. It needs to be a term we can say, we know what she's talking about now. And remember, you can be guilty of toxic masculinity, but you might not be a toxic male.
Yes.
Do you understand? Like,
yes.
You could be a perfectly decent guy, but you are sometimes a toxic masculine. Mm. You know, you sometimes behave like that. You say things that might be regarded as toxic masculinity to some people. So in other words, it's not a descriptor. It's not like saying, you are always stupid. You're just stupid on these things. You know what I mean? Mm. So the same is true here so let's not get all touchy about this, which is another thing. I was listening to a brilliant podcast the other day, And I had this sudden like aha moment. Mm. I listened to a lot of them over the holidays, different ones. This woman was telling the most beautiful story. And then she kept saying, I feel. And I was like, hang on, you just lost me. Mm. Because she was talking about a story from history about this queen of Sweden called Christina, mm-hmm. who may or may not have been a lesbian. But suddenly she's injecting her feelings into the story. Into the and I'm story. Like, that's something a man would never say. And suddenly I found myself like not as big a fan of the podcast as I was before she said those words.
She wasn't sticking to the fact she was inserting her feeling.
Not that I didn't want her opinions, but the fact that she used the word I feel, and you got to listen to what you say because people do this all the time. I had a very cool discussion with a girl who a friend of mine brought to a party in Cape Town. And we were just, I mean, it was a very fun, friendly discussion. There was nothing aggressive about it at all. But her eyebrows kept being raised every time we brought up any of these things that we've talked about now, right?
Any of this.
And I noticed like little subtle body language things, which folding her arms suddenly and like raising her eyebrows and I listened to her then because I was being the observer, right? Yes. So I didn't say anything for about, I don't know, 15 minutes. Just listened to her talk and listened to the other people in the group talk. And I noticed that she used this I feel thing the whole time. And at the end of this 15 minutes, I said to her, if you recorded this and you went back and you actually played it back to yourself and said, you know, these are the things that every single sentence was an I feel rather than I think or this is my opinion or what about, or it was me, I feel. If all of her sentence was constructed that way. I thought, well, what a giveaway.
You know, you
got to listen to people.
You know what's crazy about what you say? People even borrow people's thoughts by saying, I feel. Mm-hmm. Seldom do you hear women talking and saying, I heard someone else saying.
Never.
They always say, I feel what? Then you're like, whoa, that's a borrowed thought. We have the internet now. I've heard this thought before. It's not originally yours.
Right.
And I always think when you think of the atrocities of the world, women have to take responsibility for being accomplices as well. Because where, even if you look at medieval times, where have you ever seen women stopping men from going to war?
Well, there are probably examples, but those women might not have had much influence. We don't know. Well, they would have, because we know women have had influence on men more than any other thing. The whole reason men become men is to get the women that they want to breed with.
When you look at the visuals of New York, Times Square, after World War II, who were there to celebrate the men that had come back from the war?
Yeah.
Vietnam was the same thing.
Yeah.
If you look at those people, even in World War II, who were people making the bombs?
I'm saying,
so we know Oppenheimer for making the atomic bomb, but who was assembling these things in these plants? Weren't they women who were working in these plants?
Probably a lot of women, yeah.
But I'm saying, where are they in the history of maiming each other?
If we're going to pull anything out of this,
yes,
it is...
Women have been there spurring men on. Are you going to leave him to talk to me like that? Are you going to just let him cut in front of us like that? I don't feel safe when I'm jogging by myself. Come with me. It's at night. Go check what's going on. I'm like, since the beginning of time, you've been giving us goodbye kisses to go kill other people, to go conquer other villages. Women have been there, shining our armors, you know, tuning our planes, guiding our missiles. You know, you've been our accomplices in all the atrocities that men have taken part in.
So what do we call it? I'm still stuck here. We need to come up with a term.
Toxic femininity. Who are we trying to impress, Gareth, fights in bars?
Yeah,
who are we trying to impress? Men have never fought by themselves.
No, they're trying to impress a woman.
Yeah, men have never... Yeah. When we see a woman stuck on the side of the road, we stop. We see another man, do we stop?
Mm-mm.
Who's spurring us on? This is my thing. Who's telling us, get him?
By the way, Dogoza says something interesting.
That's my other name, by the way.
Dogoza says, is that your other name?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It means joy.
Dogoza says, work culture does not exist in KZN. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It is a true
That's
fact.
True, right?
I've currently just wrapped doing a show called I'm With Your Ex. And it's a show.
Love that.
It's a show.
Marl's here.
It's a show where people confront their exes and tell them that they're with someone that they know personally, either a sibling or a best friend or a cousin.
That's
right?
Awesome.
And then you look at these kind of shows, and then you look at Uthando Nesithembu, the one Mselegu show where
yes.
he has many wives, and then you'll realize that the culture in the KZN is totally way different. It's way different than what we in Gauteng here have made up as a subculture, and we think we represent the whole entire world.
Yeah, we do.
Four Ways and Bryanston, their opinions on the internet with their rain fiber, they think they represent the world. But you're like, you don't.
You're so right.
You don't. There's a whole, there's Pulukwane, there's and Northwest.
I always say to people, there's what, 4-5 million people, maybe it's 6 now after the last count, that are actually on Twitter and active.
Yes.
They do. That's less people than voted, I think, even for the DA.
And there's more women than men statistically, right?
Yeah.
So who are these women speaking in behalf
those
of?
Those are the toxic feminists. Is that
yes. Too much internet. And charge batteries and power banks. And, that's and like, what the problem
and
is.
And like Mike Tyson used to say when he beat that guy up on the plane, he's like, this is not Twitter.
Mm-mm. I'm real here.
If you get on the internet and you start like it's easy to do that if you're anonymous on Twitter. It's not so easy to do that if you are in real proximity to someone. Mm-hmm. No, people are not going to tolerate that, men or women. So everybody's much more polite to each other in person. But we have to pause things there because it's already 2 minutes after 7. We've got to come back with a whole lot more. We've got plenty to talk about. We still haven't even touched sides on some of these things. It's also a brand new year. We've got to look at what we want to get done this year, what our predictions might be for the year, because we always get these wrong. So at least I want to get them off my chest.
But you got the Meghan and Harry, right?
I did get that one.
Nice one.
Yeah. But we'll reflect. Okay. We'll see which ones we got right and which ones we got wrong as well. Lots of other good stuff still to come. We'll pick our favorites for 2023. Mm-hmm. Have to check that because now people are going to be writing 2022 on things. Nobody really writes except me anymore, but I still do. I make
even if you have to type it, it's still a problem.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll get into that and a whole lot more. Stick around, cliffcentral.com. It is Monday, the 9th of January. cliffcentral.com.